Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Neighbours comes to an end, the Australian soap, after 37 years. The finale, grand finale, will air in Australia later tonight. Irish audiences will, of course, be able to watch the finale a little later. But for many fans, the daily trip to Earnsborough became a ritual, I suppose, of sorts. And for my next guest, Irish Times journalist Alex Moffat. Alex, I suppose Neighbours had a particular impact on you and your late wife and your young child. And I know you're going to share that story with us in a few moments. But before you do that, will you just tell us, how did you get into Neighbours? Like, how did you start watching it maybe 30 odd years ago?
It was nearly 30 years ago. Yeah, it was during the summer holidays, I think, at the end of my first year in college. And everyone else would, my friends and things would talk about it, and I knew nothing about it. So just to join in conversations, I decided to try it. And just got hooked fairly quickly. So that was sometime like 1993 or 94. And I discovered how good it was in its own strange way, its own strange little world.
Yeah. Explain that, Alex, because I suppose it always had competition, you know, over the years from the likes of Home and Away, within nearly the same hour, I think it was aired here in Ireland.
Yes. Well, actually, what I did that summer was I watched Neighbours and Home and Away because I was on holiday and I had the time. And I figured when I was returning to college in September, I needed to decide. I didn't have time to watch two of them. And it was an easy decision to drop Home and Away, because Home and Away is just all melodrama. It's really intense. And what's brilliant about Neighbours is that it has this unique sort of a mix. It has the highest melodrama and depths and people falling off cliffs and things. But it also has ridiculous, farcical stuff, silly storylines. And it just mixes all these elements together in a way that I can't think of any other programme that does anything like it.
There's always a sense of sort of escapism nearly, isn't there? You know, when you really follow a programme or a soap like that, and you did so over nearly 30 years, as you said.
Yes, yes. And I mean, some of it is, it's just so attractive. I mean, they're all very good looking people, but it's also all the sunshine. They have pools out in their back gardens, and so, yeah, it's very much a desirable lifestyle as well. It just, yeah, a blissful little world sometimes that it shows.
I suppose in later years, when you met your partner, I suppose she wasn't as into it initially, maybe, as you were, Alex.
My wife, Magda, had very serious tastes. And she was Polish, and she would watch subtitled films always and sort of art house. You know, very, very serious, demanding things. And she regarded me watching my 20 minutes of Neighbours every day as kind of ridiculous and like an awful waste of time. She would walk out of the room when I was watching it. She just didn't understand it. And it was just, it took a few years for that to change. And it was to do with the birth of our son in 2015, or at the end of 2015. So it was just coming home from the hospital and the complete sort of exhaustion and the demands of a very small baby and things, where she was shattered by it all. And she couldn't cope with the normal things of reading books or watching the things she'd normally watch. And she started sometimes just joining me when I was watching Neighbours, because it was about the level of what she could cope with in her, you know, exhausted state. And it gradually grew on her. The biggest change was then that I found it wasn't just when I was there, that she would watch it when I wasn't there. That was the real breakthrough. And I'd be out at work or working late, and she'd be texting me saying, "You won't believe what's happened today," or, you know, "I won't spoil it for you, but you have to watch it tonight." And it was an amazing turnaround.
Yeah.
That she suddenly actually really cared about all this stuff.
So you're at work and you get the text in to say, you know, "Great episode this afternoon. I've it recorded. You have to watch this now when you get home tonight."
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And she'd be watching it with her son as well, who was, you know, not even one at the time. And she'd send me a clip of him trying to sing along with the theme song. And
yeah.
So it became part of their ritual, the two of them, because I was out working 5 days a week in the afternoons and nights, that they would watch it together.
Tell us a little bit about Magda, Alex.
Magda was a Garda. As far as I know, I think she was the first woman Polish Garda in the country. And she was based in Ballyfermot. So it was quite an unusual thing for someone to come from a foreign country and to be that much a part of Ireland then. Like, she, in a lot of ways, she knew Ireland a lot better than me. She used to think I lived in my cosy bubble and, you know, living in South Dublin and not knowing anything about what really went on or what life was actually like. The whole fact of, because you don't, or maybe more so now, but you don't find many foreign Gardaí. And she'd talk about even the experience of arresting someone, where she'd be arresting some tug or other and maybe putting handcuffs on them. And they'd suddenly look at her in a funny way, noticing her accent, and say, "Where are you from, Gard?" And she'd say, "Poland." And she said this happened not once, but a bunch of times.
Right.
That when she said Poland, they would look at her and say, "Fair play to you." And then she would
continue arresting them and charge them and reading their rights and the whole lot.
But fair play to you was a consistent reaction, which is really...
Yeah. So you'd obviously hear, you know, all of this then in the evening or home life, and neighbours then had come on in the background, and you'd... Was it part of the day in that when you were both there, you'd sit down and watch it, and even as your son, you know, grew up and became older?
Yes. I suppose we would have tended to watch it together. Because I was working 5 days, so I wasn't around that often in the day to watch it. But we did when we could, and it's certainly something I've continued with now, that I always watch it with my son. And in fact, he bans me from watching it if he's not around. Like, he insists that we have to do it together, so I can't go, you know, watching it when he's in bed or something.
Yeah. Over the years, neighbours and maybe it as a soap, it helped. Is it fair to say, Alex, that it helped you through a difficult time? Like, can you tell us maybe just a little bit more or share Magda's story with us?
Yes. Well, some of this is looking back in retrospect. I didn't know at the time, but I'm pretty confident now that she was suffering from postnatal depression from the point that she left the hospital after giving birth, because she just wasn't the same. She was kind of tired, and she was angry and agitated, and it just steadily got worse. And I just never clicked with me that something was wrong, because how do you distinguish between what's depression and what's a natural reaction to getting hardly any sleep and looking after a baby all hours of the day? I don't know that there's a clear line you can draw there. And it's only in retrospect I can see that it steadily went downhill and it got worse and worse until it became out of control after about sort of a year and a half or so, where she admitted that she was suicidal, and it ended with a rush to get her into a hospital, to get her into John of God's for treatment, because it was utterly debilitating. It was like, at that point, it was like the light had gone out from her eyes. She was kind of dead inside, you know. She'd sit with our son, I'd come into the kitchen and she'd be there with a very small child, and there'd just be silence. She wouldn't be talking to him or looking at him. She'd just be sitting there. And, you know, this was not like her at all. But it was kind of dying inside. It was just utter despair that she went through. And I've never seen anything like it. I had no real understanding of depression until I saw that and the intensity of it. And the way that I remember, visiting her in hospital in John of God's one time, and she actually sort of doubled over in pain, like holding herself. That was what it was like. It was so overwhelming. And the other thing that I recall from maybe just before the worst stages was her saying that watching Neighbours, the 20 minutes of Neighbours every day, was the only time she was happy.
Watching the soap.
Yeah.
And is that just the watching the kind of trivial storylines and just that escapism, Alex?
I think it was, just stepping away from things. And it's the fact that it's not an intensely demanding thing. It's, you know, not hard to concentrate on. It was just all she could manage at that stage. I don't know what it was that drew her in so intensely to it, but it did have this effect. And it intensified as her depression intensified, the sort of relationship with neighbours.
You mentioned that Magda obviously accessed, you know, services and support through you know, hospital and medical experts and facilities, but was her condition deteriorated, Alex, as well then in time?
It was a very unfortunate case that she just didn't respond to any of the medication. And the problem with antidepressants is that they're slow to work, that it can take, you know, 2 weeks before you know if it's working. And then if it's not working, you switch to the next drug and you wait another 2 weeks. So it's quite a drawn out process, or you increase the dose and wait another week, and nothing. She wasn't really responding to any of it, was the problem. Though I suppose that just made things worse and worse, and she was more and more suicidal going through all this. Like, she ran away from the hospital at one stage, and she ended up taking her own life after 2 months.
I'm sorry to hear that, Alex. And I'm sure for you and for your young son, what age was your son at the time?
He had just turned two, so it was actually a couple of weeks after his second birthday that she died. In a way, it was fortunate that he was young enough not to be too aware of what was happening.
That was how many years ago, Alex?
That was the end of 2017. So
2017.
Four and a half years now.
How are you and your son doing in recent years?
It's been difficult, but we're managing. And I mean, the one good thing to come from it is that we have this sort of very intense, close relationship. And I've been able to spend a lot of time with him. I've been fortunate that I haven't had to work full time, or I've been able to manage without that. So I've been spending most of my time with him, and that's been very good for our relationship, and we've become just extremely close through it all. And one of those features of that has been just the ritual of watching Neighbours together every night, and him commenting on it and discussing it with me and all that.
When you, I suppose, in after, you know, Magda's passing, like, I can just, when you talk about the ritual and how the days and the routine, it totally changes in the aftermath. I suppose, did the show, did it take on a kind of a different meaning, Alex, when you'd obviously be together, yourself and your son, and watch it?
I think so, yeah, because before that it was largely something I did myself. I worked in newspapers and I'd be getting home long after midnight, and I would tend to, it'd be something I'd watch by myself last thing at night. And now it's something I watch in the evening with my son instead. It became a sort of a ritual for us to watch this together and to talk about it together. And it's interesting even seeing how he reacts to it, that he's quite drawn in by characters and, you know, wondering why people behave the way they behave. And even his confusion of something like, if people know Paul Robinson, who is kind of the villain of the show, but sometimes he'll say, you know, oh, I'm so angry at Paul, but I'm also a bit sorry for him.
Yeah.
And it's hard to understand that, the fact that, you know, somebody isn't entirely evil, or that you can sympathize with someone even as they're doing terrible things. There's a lot of moments like that where he's struck by things, or where he's worried that people are reacting wrongly to something. So it definitely made him think in some ways, I think.
Does he have a sort of an emotional attachment with the programme, I suppose, knowing that, you know, as you say, like, over the years, Magda got, you know, became such a follower of the show, and you both watched it together. And is he aware of all that, Alex?
Oh, he is, yeah. We would have talked about that. And he's very sorry that it's ending. He's not sure what we're going to be doing next week now.
Is he, Alex?
When it's all over, or what we'll be watching instead. And I mean, there was particular things in it that were terribly powerful. Like, it was a couple of years ago, there was a storyline where Toadie's wife, youngish wife, died. And there was an episode which just had him and Sonia, with the character's name. It was the death episode, and it was only the two of them who were in it. And it was kind of on a different level. It wasn't a typical soap episode at all. It was just incredibly powerful. And very, very hard to watch.
I was just going to say, you must have found that must have been very difficult.
Yeah.
For you, Alex, you know, and your son watching.
Yes.
And through all that goes, I know the emotions and everything as you're watching the program in the evening, and you're looking at the storyline that's playing out. How do you feel about, you know, the show coming to an end? Like, is there a sense of connection that's sort of been lost a little bit?
It's very sad because I can't see anything else replacing it. There's nothing quite like it. I've even discovered, you know, sort of online through social media and things like that. There's forums just discussing Neighbours, things that didn't exist years ago. So people who are following it in the level of detail that I follow it, and where you could comment on little things, it's very satisfying. It's going to be a big hole, all right. It's just fortunate that there's been a sort of several months, or we've known since February that this was happening. So I've been ready for it in that sense. But I'm still not quite sure what it's going to feel very odd next week when it's really over.
And I suppose that, you know, connection that you and your son had with the programme, and obviously that, you know, that you and Magda, your wife, had as well. Like, does it feel like a little bit of that connection's been lost, Alex? The show,
I suppose it does. Yes. No, it's definitely, there's going to be a big hole there that can't be replaced by anything else. It will be very strange.
It's amazing. I often think in the aftermath of any kind of a loss of a tragic loss of a family member or a loved one. It's often those. It's the small things, isn't it? Like, it's the things that whether it's where somebody sits at the dinner table, or where they eat their lunch, or the time they come in for dinner at in the evening, or the programmes they used to watch. Isn't it? It's all that kind of stuff. Just, I suppose they're triggers.
The thing for me is when I only occasionally go into the city centre now, but it feels haunted. Because we would have spent so long in the city centre, maybe before our son was born and things, and when we were kind of free and going out to restaurants and things. And it just all feels a bit ghostly now, going around and past places where we would have, you know, had dinner. Or there's sort of all these little landmarks, and I don't feel like I'm really part of anything anymore. It feels like you're just seeing the past when you walk around.
It can be hard, Alex, to find, you know, the. I suppose it can be hard to kind of find, like, the way that you deal, you know, that you deal with that. And obviously, I'm sure as your son is now growing up and at that age where he's asking, you know, asking questions and different things like that. But it is hard when you pass those. Oh, sure, there's where we, as you say, we went for dinner or an anniversary, or, you know, the favourite coffee shop or whatever, those kind of things. Like, they're always the things that hit you, though.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Listen, I know you're going to watch, obviously, the programme. It's Monday night. Do you have anything special planned with your son to watch the last episode?
No, I didn't even think that far ahead, and I didn't want to get into making too much of a big thing of it. But all I know is we'll have to watch it together. We'll have to be sure that we're together for it.
Well, listen. Mind yourself. I've no doubt it will be difficult for many, many reasons. And as you mentioned, just, I suppose, even the memories and the emotional attachment over the past number of years. But Irish Times journalist Alex Moffat. Alex, thanks a million for joining us here on the programme today.
Thank you, Andrea.
Yeah,
okay.
Take care. Mind yourself.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.